Your 702 Weekend Breakfast with me, Gugs Mhlongo. This week, we are speaking about the world of giraffes, which I'm quite excited about. And actually, trying to figure out whether they are endangered, as so many of our wonderful animals are. Joined in studio, as always, by resident CSI and nature conservationist Tim Neary. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. Are we bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning?
I don't know about either of those things. I've been up for a very long time. I'm not sure.
The nice thing is it's raining gently outside.
Yes, it
is. Well, sort of, every now and again.
Kind of, but I need it at some point to stop raining, just very briefly.
Well, you want to wash your car?
No, I need to go to a river and perform a cleansing. You can't do that when it's raining. Traditional healers can't work when it rains. Them's the rules.
Them's the rules.
So I just need the smallest gap of like an hour or two of just no rain. I can work and everyone can go back to the rain.
You need to also cast something upon the waters of that river to make sure it's clean.
Yep.
Because you might have... Actually, the rain is going to be handy. The rain will wash all the gunk out the water. Stop the rain. You will then have some hopefully clean water.
Yes. Yes. So I just need an hour or two if the powers that be are listening.
Yeah, okay, all right. you got to dial it in.
I need
Hello,
to dial
excuse
it in.
Me.
Yeah. To phone it in.
Yeah, could the weather department please cooperate? Googs requires.
I just need an hour or two.
An hour or two.
Please.
Yes, I know that exact feeling when you get down to the coast and you think, I'm going to go for a snorkel, and you look and go, oh God, the water's dirty, it's filthy, and it's really rough. Please, could you do something about it?
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. Just that rock pool. That's all I'm asking. Just the small piece.
Oh.
Not asking for world peace. We've got idiots running the country, so we'll never get to world peace.
We're just asking.
We're just asking for a friend.
Yeah. So this week we're talking about giraffes, which I'm quite excited about because I think they're such interesting creatures. And also I've just recently found a person on TikTok who is a giraffe chiropractor. He's going viral because I think many of us have never seen a giraffe's neck get adjusted.
A giraffe chiropractor.
Yes. You can be anything you want, Tim. The world is limitless.
This is like woke. How do you get it? What do you... Giraffe, please lie down over here while I...
Well, no, he's...
Jangle your jingles.
He stands on a platform. So the giraffe stands at full height, and then he stands up to where the giraffe's neck
this
is.
This I gotta see.
I'll send you a link. I'll send
please.
You a video.
Now, look, I think that they're the most incredibly interesting creatures, and I remember on more than one occasion when I was trying to be a guide, which I loathed absolutely with a passion.
Really?
Oh, I hated guiding.
Why? I feel like you'd be so good at it.
Because people come up with strange things, and eventually you start saying to somebody, no, that's a mini buffalo and it's a wildebeest, because they ask you some really silly questions. But, you know, go and do your studies before. No, jokes aside, I'm just not a very good people's person. But giraffe, the amount of times that you would go out and you would say, you know, here we go, guys, let's go and have a look at the big fire that you all want to look at. And then you get a little voice in the back that says, I just want to see giraffe.
Oh.
And a lot of people like watching them. And I think they are incredibly interesting creatures because there are so many questions that I have, like, what is the sound that a giraffe makes?
Yes.
You know, and... I've been out in giraffe game captures, and it's quite an interesting aspect because what do you do with that long neck and that head? You can't have it too far down. So we've got all sorts of wonderful questions.
How
for
do they
Beacon.
Sleep? Do they kneel? Do
well,
they sleep standing?
That also I found rather interesting, and I don't know if it's in all places, but for example, if you go to a reserve like Swalu, if you're not in the lion area, the giraffe are on the ground and they curl their legs up and they relax back.
That's so cute.
So that you're not going to be chomped by, I guess, something big because there's nothing to chomp you. But the giraffe on the opposite side where the opposite side of the road where the predators are, not so much do they sit down. But there's nothing cuter than a small giraffe.
They're so nunipai.
And they also can get a little grumpy. And I've watched giraffe carnivorous. They must be carnivorous. They eat bones. But we're going to ask Prof about that.
We actually do have a sound of a giraffe, which I think is great. Peter, who is the master of all things sound, says he actually has a sound. How strange is that?
It's very strange.
What is that?
It sounds like somebody strangling a...
Yeah.
I don't know, something strangling
strange.
Something.
Not what I imagined.
No, not at all. Not at all.
In fact, in my mind, giraffes don't make any sound.
Well, I've always thought of them as being mute because, you know, again, I must admit, I've never been that close to a giraffe other than to watch it. But and also to, when you think of this poor animal, it spends half an hour getting itself down into the right position to drink. So we have got to get our legs out and our head down, and then we start drinking, and then some stupid wildebeest coughs in the bush. And the giraffe goes, whoop, and it jumps up and it stands on its, and it, now it's got to perform this whole ritual again.
Again.
And again, and again, and again. And yeah, I don't know. To me, what else is interesting about them? The coat patterns.
Yes, there's which I else. Want to ask the professor about.
Yes.
We are joined by Professor Francois Deakin, who's a researcher and professor at the Department of Animal, Wildlife and Grassland Sciences at UFSA, which is the University of the Free State. Professor Deakin, a very good morning to you. It's good to have you on the show.
Good morning, guys. I've really had a good laugh so far. You've been covering multiple questions. I don't know how much time we're going to have.
Yeah, we need about 3 hours, Francois.
Exactly. You need 3 days to cover all the details. And you haven't touched the base of all the interesting things about the giraffe.
Francois, giraffe, though, I mean, some people will just look at them and say it's another animal, but it's not. To me, it is so interesting, and just in its lifestyle, the way it moves around, what it does, and its function within the biodiversity of a reserve.
Absolutely, Tim. I mean, the things we're trying to figure out with technology these days is unbelievable already than 23 years ago, and still with the best technology, with 30,000 plus satellites in the air, everything that you can attach to a giraffe and monitor them, we still don't know. We can't figure it out. So, I mean, you briefly talked about the communication and hear your sound clips, and that's something that we're recently exploring now, and that specific sound clip you're playing to the audience is from zoo captive animals. Mm-hmm. And so that was between a calf and a mother. And what we're doing at the moment is in wild animals. So last year we collared a couple of giraffes with audio mods. Very, very high-tech audio mods, very expensive. It's about 45,000 rand each. And we attached it to different individuals to try and see how far these communication and the communication frequency and that sort of thing. Completely non-audible for humans. Obviously, they communicate in their own frequencies, like elephants and other animals as well. But yeah, that in itself was amazing to be part of, and trying to figure out how giraffes scream at each other and where they move and how they warn each other. So it's they vocal, especially like you said, Tim, at different occasions when you deliberately have to dart or tranquilize them, and you move them between reserves or that capturing process, that definitely has an effect on the communication as well. So we've got multiple recordings and data sets on that as well. But it's in a process of trying to be figured out, and that's what science is. Like all the other topics you've covered, the sleeping, how they sleep. We talk about the REM sleep, the rapid eye movement sleep. So over a 24-hour period, they sleep 4.5 hours. And that's 3 seconds here, 10 minutes there, 8 minutes here. They stand and sleep. They just basically shut down. They don't close their eyes. They stop ruminating, and they just stand still, like the ears start hanging a little. And if you put all that together, it's 4.5 hours. They're not like humans that need to go and sleep down. sit down or lie down and sleep well. Mm. So there's multiple topics that we could cover. And just shoot me with questions and I'll try and see what I can cover.
Professor, so you have a special interest in a giraffe in their natural habitat. Why giraffes? What about them was so fascinating to you that you wanted to study them a bit further?
Yeah, that's a loaded question because there's multiple things that we need to consider. That giraffe on the African continent is absolutely iconic. And I couldn't agree more when Tim said people want to see giraffe more than they want to see the big five. Mm. And that's a definite thing. And really what changed with the tourism industry and the awareness for giraffe and the plight of giraffe, because they're facing extinction on the continent, which is sad. We had giraffe on 22 countries in Africa. Now we only have them left in 8 countries in Africa. And they are facing extinction. South Africa is spoiled with the game industry. So we've got plenty of giraffe in all the game farms and reserves and our national parks. But the rest of Africa, it's a dark picture. But where it changed is a simple thing like a movie called Madagascar. So if you see how many millions and millions of people and kids watch Madagascar globally, and then you have this Melman and this funny giraffe with his look and his comic that comes with it, you're actually stirring something in a kid somewhere in Europe or in Asia or somewhere, and they want to see these animals in the wild. They want to come and see these animals where they live, and it's in Africa. So a simple thing like Madagascar creates this curiosity amongst kids, and eventually they end up as adults or people that travel with their own kids in future, and they come to Africa. And you could easily, if you could go check online, that amongst the top 5 animals to be seen on the continent is giraffes number 1 or 2 for that reason. So it makes it nice. But where my interest is obviously on the habitat. So when I say habitat, I want to see a pristine environment where the animal can not just function, but thrive in. So we've got very limited handfuls, pocket size of natural habitat left on the continent. And it's for us humans to figure out the qualities of these favorable areas that giraffe favor and the areas they avoid. So if we can expand the favorable areas and increase that, then we increase the habitat for these animals. And if the habitat is doing well and fine and functions well as an ecosystem, the giraffe will be fine and the numbers will increase. But we're doing the opposite. So every tree we're cutting down took 20, 30, 50 years to grow. And that tree you cannot replace in your or my lifetime. So every tree we cut down that would have been a resource for the animals, for the giraffe, is irreplaceable. And we're doing that too quick. So we're fragmenting Africa. We're cutting down, we're isolating animals into little islands, these little pockets of green patches across the continent, your Serengetis, your Masai Maras, the Kruger National Parks. But what we're doing is we're isolating them to a regional and geographical area. And in that, we're even decreasing the resource more and more and more because the animal numbers increase and the human numbers increase. So that's the reality. And I'm trying to focus and save the habitat with the giraffe within.
Mm. Francois, an interesting one. One of the very first things I ever filmed was a giraffe rolling bones and sucking on bones in its mouth. And it seemed to almost go into a trance. I watched them at Swalu numerous times where they roll their eyes back and they pass the bone between each other. What is the reason for this bone chomping that you go? Because they're not carnivorous at all.
Yeah. Now, that is specifically where Swalu is based in the Northern Cape. And that entire region there is low in phosphorus and calcium. So the assumption is, and we're doing work on it, so we are monitoring it and we're doing tests in the lab on that as well. So we call it osteophagia. So osteophagia is a sort of pica. So pica is where you feed on foreign objects, mm-hmm. and osteophagia specifically is feeding on the bones. It's not geophagia. Geophagia is where they eat soil and lick soil. So osteophagia, where they eat the bones, is a curiosity sort of thing. They need to be learned that behavior, so they don't just do it naturally because they're not carnivorous at all. But when they do start chewing on these bones, they would go for hours and they would lick it. And they would take like a molar or one of your bigger bones, or let's say a neck vertebra of a wildebeest or a buffalo or something. And they'll chew it down from a rugby ball size when they start. It will end up as big as a tennis ball, where they just mold this in their tongues and over and up and down. And that's where the eye movement comes in, because it's actually uncomfortable for them to do it, but they like the taste of it. They like the texture of it. So, and they will do it for 2 or 3 hours a day, and then they would walk a week and feed on all kinds of trees and natural resources. And when they pass by that site where these bones, they'll go back again, and they will, like you say, they'll pass on the bones to each other and they'll feed on it. But that is only in areas and specific times of the year where we do know there's a phosphorus and calcium limitation. They don't really get much from these bones that we can figure out. They can't actually digest much of what they do take in any case, because the gut microbes and the digestive system has not been developed for that. But they do it for the almost the fun of it and get sort of kick from it. That's a definite. And they do it what we call a critical period, the stress period, when the nutritional values of your plants is not the optimum. So your August, September, October, like between the winter and the first rains, when the trees don't produce new green foliage yet, that is the 2-3 months when you specifically at Swallow would have seen that very often.
Professor, we received a listener question on WhatsApp, and it says, "Morning, Gogs, Tim and the Prof. When giraffes get old, do they suffer from arthritis? What is the effect on their long necks? Thank you."
Yes, yeah. Okay, that's a good question, because we're doing studies between the fossils, the old short-necked giraffe that became extinct 15 million years ago, and the giraffe we have at the moment. On the bone structure itself, you can definitely see it deteriorates. You almost get a granny sort of look when you get a giraffe female that exceeds an 18, 20-year-old age. You can see the neck becomes like a little, it hangs a little like a banana shape. You could see the skin. So there's definite signs when they get old, and I'm 100% sure the bones is taking the same effect. So if they do get osteoarthritis, like the specific question, I can just assume yes, they would be like any mammal. If you had a hard life and the body has been taking beatings, especially your bulls, how they hit each other, that force they hit each other with. We did some X-rays quite recently, beginning of the year, on a female's hoof that had a she was crippled and the hoof was swollen, and we wanted to figure out what's going on there. And she had a fracture in it, but the fracture itself must have been months old, because the bones around the fracture almost developed with this fracture. So I can just assume it's a valid question. They might definitely go through the same pains and issues humans and other mammals would face. They don't get very, very old, for that matter. And when the teeth are worn, they can't feed and they can't digest. Yeah. So typically, that I think is a interesting and a good question. And earlier you touched on the acupuncture for the giraffe in the intro, and I know that lady very well, Amy Faltz, at the zoo in America, where she's been trialing an area since 2010 already with the acupuncture on those giraffes. And they've created such a a pleasant environment for these giraffes, that they would, on a specific time when they can call them in, they're really very tame, like a dog tame. They come in, they come and stand in the chute, they stand still there, and then they can start rub them, and they can put needles in them. They can, for an hour, 2 hours, they give them a treatment, and they open the chute, and the animal goes out again and feed, and the next day they do it the same.
Yeah.
So they've trained these animals to do the same. Mm. Same with hoof care. Hoof care is a big thing in zoos.
Yeah. Professor, unfortunately, we need to leave it at that. We're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been great having you on the show.
That pleasure was mine. Thank you for inviting me. And like I said, we need 3 hours and then we cover all the other questions.
Yeah, because I've got about 30 other questions as well. So, Francois, we're going to bring you...
We'll have to do a part
two. We'll bring you back in if you're happy to do that with us.
I would love that. Yeah, invite me to the studio and we set the giraffe day and people could ask questions and we can have interactions. There's so much to cover.
Sounds great. That is Professor Francois Deakin, researcher and professor at the Department of Animal, Wildlife and Grassland Sciences at the University of the Free State.